who we are as a church and where we feel like we're going. Just wanted to start with a little story. I got a ride the other day in a taxi with a guy called Tony. And Tony, the taxi driver, some of you have heard me tell this story, but it's so good, I've got to tell it again. Tony, the taxi driver, came to the UK from Sri Lanka. That's where he was born. And he came here to live with his aunt. He'd had no church background whatsoever. He arrived in the UK and had found work, I think, and moved in with his aunt. And on the first weekend that he came here, his aunt said to him, "Tony, come to church with me tomorrow." And he said, "No way, I don't do that kind of thing. That's not me. I've never been to church in my life. No, I'm not coming." That night he went to bed and he heard the audible voice of God say to him, "Tony, go to church. I've saved you." So as you do when you have the audible voice of God in your ear, you go to church the next day. He went to church the next day, gave his life to Christ, became a Christian. 2 years later, Tony went to a Rambaboo event. Those of you who have not heard of Rambaboo, this was probably 6 or maybe 8 years ago. He came to Bedford. He's an Indian evangelist and prays for the sick. So he went there, and there's a room of, must have been 600-700 people, I would think. Rambaboo points at Tony, who's sitting about 10 rows back, and says, "You are deaf in your left ear. Come to the front." Well, he was deaf in his left ear. So he came to the front. Rambaboo prayed for him. He was instantly healed of deafness in his left ear. And he was also healed as a side effect of diabetes, which he'd had his entire life. All happened on that one night. He goes home. Over the course, and this is, so we've met Tony 8 years on. Tony has now led to Christ 8 or 10 of his family members. I can't remember how many. His parents, all his siblings, their spouses. There's 8 or 10 of them now that have come to faith in Christ through his story. And we met a Tony who was radiant, playing Indian Christian music on his CD, driving around Bedford in his taxi, going to a local church, having a great time, enjoying God. I tell you that story. Isn't that an encouraging story? You don't seem so encouraged. I was encouraged by that story. Good. You're worrying me then for a minute. I was encouraged by that story. 2 reasons. I think there are some here this morning and you have not yet made that point of giving your life to Christ. Perhaps you've been around for a while and you've enjoyed the community, seeing some of the things that we're doing. I would urge you, I believe that God is speaking to you. Come to faith in Christ. Give your life to him. And I want to give you an opportunity later on. It is life-changing. Secondly, I tell you that story because I think it indicates that God has got great plans for this nation. I think it indicates that God has got great plans for Bedford. Amen. That happened here. That's not a story from India or somewhere else. Somewhere in the third world. Somewhere in a country far away. That happened here in Bedford. Not a few years ago. The greatest acts of the church have yet to be written. And I believe we're going to be part of writing some of them right here in this town. And so we're starting a new series this week. What Jesus Said About. And each week we're going to take a different aspect of the life of Christ, some of the things that he said, some of the things that he did, and just look at them. And this week the title is What Jesus Said About Living a Supernatural Life. What Jesus Said About Living a Supernatural Life. Jesus said this, "He who believes in me will do the things that I have been doing. No, he will do greater things because I am going to the Father." Jesus said, "As the Father sent me, in the same way that he sent me, I am sending you out." He also said, "These signs will follow those who believe in me. In my name, they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover." These are the things that Jesus said. And when we understand this, we recognize that the supernatural lifestyle is not just something that is abnormal. It's not just for the few elite. That Jesus intended it for everyone. That Jesus calls, he expects, and he wants his church to move in power. And I don't know about you, but for me, that has not been my understanding. God has had to rewire me, to reprogram me, to understand that what I've seen before is just not normal. That Jesus came to create a new normality, the supernatural lifestyle. And when we understand this, we read Scripture differently. Sometimes we can read the Bible, can't we? Just read it as like, that was a nice story. When we understand this, we understand that the Bible, and particularly the Gospels, are a training manual. What we read about what Jesus did with the disciples was he was training them to live the kind of life that he wanted them to live. So as we read the stories, we must read them with that mindset. These are recorded. Jesus' training of the disciples to live the supernatural life. And that's what I believe we're going to see in this story this morning. So if you have a Bible, turn to Matthew 14. And my aim this morning really is to read this passage and to learn from it that Jesus would train us in the keys for a supernatural lifestyle. So Matthew 14, let's pray. Lord Jesus, we pray, come and speak to us by your Spirit. Come and train us, each one, this morning. Give us the keys. Give us the foundations, Lord, for the life that you're calling us to live. Come by your Spirit, Lord. Come and settle on our hearts, Lord. I pray, raise faith across this room in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. So Matthew 14, verse 22. Immediately he made the disciples get into a boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. And after he dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, Jesus was there alone, but the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, which is somewhere between, I think, 3 and 6 a.m., he came to them walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they, rightly, were terrified and said, "It's a ghost." And they cried out in fear. Immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it's I, do not be afraid." And Peter, the nutter, answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come out on the water." He said, Peter wasn't expecting this response, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he realized what he was doing, when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand, took hold of him, saying to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." There are some keys in this passage to living a supernatural life that come not so much out of what Jesus said, but what he did, what he modeled to the disciples through this. The first key, clearly, is that the supernatural lifestyle flows out of relationship from the Father. You cannot earn it. There's nothing you can do to win it from God. And we made this point last week, so I won't dwell on it. But you notice that Jesus spent this time in prayer. And if you read through the Gospels, whenever Jesus spends a significant chunk of time in prayer, and it's written about, he's either coming from a great miracle or he's just about to go into one. And this is one of the most significant miracles. It was recorded by 3 or 4 of the Gospel writers because it was so outstanding, walking on the water. No one had ever done it before or ever seen anyone do it before. And so Jesus comes into this place of this miracle out of relationship and intimacy with the Father. We did that point to death last week, so I won't go any more about it. Power belongs to God. If we spend time in his presence, in intimacy with him, it just rubs off on us. It just rubs off on us. That's what happens. Supernatural lifestyle flows out of relationship with the Father. That's what Jesus modeled. Secondly, the supernatural lifestyle is the normal Christian life. I love the way Jesus makes this so normal, walking on the water. It's as if, you know, in one of the Gospel accounts it says he wasn't even intending to stop. He was just like, "Hi guys." You know, he was just on his way, doing his thing. He just makes it so normal. And because in my experience, the Christians that experience a lot of the supernatural are the weird ones. You know, with the big hair and the, you know, the stare eye and the stare look in their eye. And forgive me if you've got big hair, that's fine. But you know what I mean? Looking at, actually nobody does. That's good. There's this kind of sense that you've got to be weird to live the supernatural lifestyle. And Jesus clearly wasn't. He was just so normal. He was just so natural. He was supernaturally natural. I was sitting across the and talking with a guy the other day who's not a Christian, and I asked him to describe me what it was like for him going to church, because he used to go to church, and he used one word, and I bet you can guess what word he used.
Boring.
Boring. You got it in one. You see, if we do church Jesus' way, it will be confusing, it will be exciting, it will be spontaneous, it will be challenging, it will be scary, it will be wonderful. It will never, ever be boring. It will never be boring.
it will be supernaturally natural. And we should expect that. That is the norm that Jesus modeled. And it starts where we are right now. Most of Jesus' miracles happened in a very, very small area, in normal life, cooking food, fishing, which was a major activity in that environment, walking through the streets. These guys lived around a lake. It was normal. They'd lived their whole lives there. It was normal for this thing to happen because supernatural lifestyle starts right where we are. It's not just about walking on water and raising the dead. So before you all rush out to Bedford Pond to practice, I don't think the point is that we're all necessarily going to do that. Some of you might, but I'd urge you, practice in the bath first. It'll make you look much less stupid than drowning in Bedford Pond. But a supernatural lifestyle starts from where I am, where I live my life, where I do my ordinary things. Think about Tony's aunt. Tony's aunt started that miracle because she said in her ordinary life, "Will you come to church with me tomorrow?" Out of that ordinary comment came an incredible miracle where Tony went on to hear the audible voice of God. And John Wimber, who's now passed away, was an incredible pastor in the States. He used to say, if you've got someone really sick, I don't take you to a member of my staff team. I take you to a plumber and his wife who are part of our church, because they have seen the most outstanding miracles. They've seen cancer healed time and time again. So when the really sick people came, they would take them over to this guy's house and they had to wait till he got back from work. And him and his wife would pray together for them. Because a supernatural lifestyle starts where I am, in what I'm doing. And it means that whoever you are, whatever you do, we can expect to live this. We don't have to all quit our jobs and just run after this thing. Because these things will run after us in our everyday life. And as God cranks up the power, as I believe he is doing, we are going to have challenges. There's a fantastic story from Bill Johnson, which I heard this week. He was saying that he was in a conference, and he's just doing a conference in the States somewhere. And in his hotel room, a cleaner had come into his hotel room. And as she had picked up, I think she knew as a pastor because there was a Bible or something in his room. As she picked up a handkerchief to move it from his hotel room, he was at the conference, he wasn't even there. She was healed by just picking up his handkerchief to move it from one place to the other. So she left him a note and said, I think you're a pastor. Just so you know, I've been healed picking up your handkerchief. Well, the next day, he sees the cleaner, and they're leaving and arriving at the same time, and she says to him, "Oh, did you get my note?" He says, "Yeah, I got your note. Fantastic, tell me about it." And so she tells him the whole story of how she'd been healed just by picking up this handkerchief, just the kind of power of God hit her in the hotel room. She got healed. So he says, "Well, let me pray for you." And they're kind of in the corridor with a door ajar. So he starts to pray for her, and she just hits the floor. As she does so, and he bends over to pray for her, ding, the elevator door opens. And somebody walks out, a guy stumbles across them and says, "Is everything okay?" Bill says, "Yes, it's fine," thinking he's not going to believe that. There's a cleaner on the floor by her cart and I'm praying for her. The guy says, "No, really, can I help in any way?" And Bill says, "She's just praying." And the guy's like, "Oh, okay then." Obviously satisfied, and starts to walk off. And then as he walks off, he turns around and says, "You know, everyone could do with a little prayer." Bill's like, "Well, would you like some?" He's like, "As it happens, I would." He was an alcoholic. Actually, he had the bottle with him, and he says, "Like, I've struggled with this my whole life. I need some prayer." So Bill prays for him. He's out on the floor in the corridor, getting set free. You see, we're going to have some problems, and we need to get used to this, because what we've thought as normal just is not normal. God is changing something amongst us to change our normality. And it doesn't mean we have to become weird and wacky, but God is going to break out amongst us wherever we go when we just step out. And we need to get used to explaining it. And we need to get used to saying, "I'm not sure what's going on, but I think it's God." Because God is breaking out. Thirdly, to step into a supernatural lifestyle, we have to have soft hearts. Did you notice that it says, as soon as Jesus and Peter got back in the boat, the wind and the waves stopped? Did you notice that? Why? Because this was a total setup. This whole thing was a setup for the disciples. They were the unwitting victims of a setup by God. It was a test. What was being tested? Well, notice the disciples' immediate reaction when they saw Jesus. It's a ghost, they said. Why? Why did they say that? Because that was the only explanation that was in their box. That was the only possible reason currently in their box that they had to, and so they just pulled it out because that's all it could be. That was the explanation. What's the point? Well, in Mark's account of the same story, there's another verse that Matthew doesn't include, and it's this. In Mark chapter 6, it says this. He got into the boat with them, and the wind ceased, and they were utterly astounded, for they did not understand about the loaves, but their hearts were hardened. You see, the disciples had just come from a miracle where Jesus had fed 5,000 people. They'd just come from that place. And it says they did not understand it. What didn't they understand? They did not understand who Jesus was. The miracle of the 5,000 was meant to demonstrate to them that Jesus was who he said he was, the bread of heaven, the great I am, the Messiah. And they just didn't get it. It just didn't compute. Even having seen it, they just didn't get it. And so God arrested them in this event. He set this whole thing up to help them. Why didn't they understand? It says their hearts were hard. Their hearts were hard. That's why they hadn't got it. Their hearts were hard. And I remember the first time I saw something supernatural. It was a woman who was laughing in the spirit, and she laughed so hard she fell off her chair. It was so foolish. It was stupid. It looked so stupid and embarrassing. And I was just embarrassed to be around it. And you know what? My heart was so hard. It was so hard because I had this box of the way that God works, and he doesn't do anything outside of that box. He sticks in that box, don't you, God? And God said, no, I don't. And I couldn't accept that God would work in any other way than the way that I was comfortable with. And so God started working in ways I wasn't comfortable with, just to make a point. Because he is God. He's got this thing about being God and doing whatever he wants to do. And you see, it was religious pride in my heart that was resisting what God wanted to do. Religion is the enemy of a true supernatural lifestyle. Religion is the enemy of the true spiritual supernatural lifestyle. Who were the biggest enemies of Jesus? Was it the prostitutes? Was it those who were swindlers? Was it those who were thieves? No, it was the religious people. Why? Because he did not fit in their box. He refused to fit in their box. In fact, he went out of his way to get out of their box and to offend their minds. And I think it's sometimes the same with the manifestations of the Spirit. God offends the mind to reveal the heart. He comes in an offensive way that's outside of our box to expose the religion in our heart. To expose the enemy of true spirituality, which is religion and dead form without power. Because he doesn't want his kids poisoned like the Pharisees were. Poisoned with religion. He doesn't want it. He wants us free to live a life of the Spirit. The Bible says the Spirit blows wherever it wants, and so are the people of the Spirit. And so if we're to be people who live this supernatural lifestyle, it starts with a soft heart. It starts by saying, yes, Lord. And I had to get to that point myself. And so I don't get it. I don't understand it. It's offensive to me. But yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Whatever you want. And that's not to say that we can't question. It's not to say that we can't say, God, is this really you? Is this you that's doing this? Questioning is okay. Skepticism and cynicism is not. There's a difference between the two. And the difference, the question might be the same, the difference is in the heart. Questioning is okay. God, is this really you? I'm just not sure. I've never seen anything like it. That's good. That's okay. Skepticism and cynicism is not. That cannot be you because you've never done it that way before. That is not. the same, and it's not okay. And the supernatural lifestyle starts with this soft, this yielded heart that says, you are God, I am not, you can do what you want to do. Come and do it amongst us. It's the first step that we've got to take. And the supernatural lifestyle starts when we step out of the boat. Peter started in a boat, which was his ordinary experience, but the miracle for him happened when he stepped out of that boat, when he took that step. And I reckon as he was taking the step, because these would be high-sided fishing boats, so you would have to clamber up and kind of lower yourself. There'll be a point of almost no return where you were either going to go for a swim or you were going to walk. And I reckon even as his foot hit those waves, it was still liquid underneath him. Even as he stepped down and started to put his weight on, I think it felt shaky. But it was only as he did that that he was able to step and he saw a miracle. And you know, for me, there used to be a time when the highlight of my week was watching the TV show 24. If you've seen it, Jack Bauer and all that. It used to be the best part of my week. It used to be the most exciting part of my week. And there's nothing wrong with that show, and I still like it. And there's nothing wrong with Heroes or Lost or any of this stuff. But, you know, I got to the point where I realised if the best part of my life is watching somebody else's fictional life, that is not the life that Jesus died for. That is not the abundant life that he died for. If that is the highlight of my life, and I'm not criticising anybody, I'm just saying this was where I was. If that is the highlight of my week, the highlight of my life, then something must be wrong. And I got on my knees and said, God, I want the life that you want for me. I don't want that to be the highlight of my life. Yeah, I'll still watch it. It's great, wonderful, fantastic. But that cannot be the best bit about this life. I want to step out of the boat. And that's where Peter starts, isn't it? He's crazy, he's foolish. But he says, Jesus, if that's you, call me to come. And Jesus says, come. And he's like, I wasn't expecting that. But he takes that step because he wanted to get out of the boat. If you want to walk in the water, you have to get out of the boat. You have to step out of your comfort zone. Playing it safe is risky. Playing it safe is risky. You risk everything. You risk the life that God has got for you. And it's funny, during the conference that we had a week or so ago on Touching the Father's Heart, on one night there was a worship conga around the room. And I wasn't totally happy about how it was done. And in fact, I hate that kind of thing. And I knew a number of people watching me because they knew that I hated it. But it had all got going before I could do anything about it. So this thing was going around the room. And you know what I thought to myself? I thought, this is a closed room. There are no guests here, and if you're a guest here, I promise you we won't ever do it on a Sunday morning. Actually, we might. But no. I can't ever say that now, can I? But I thought this is a safe environment. There are no guests here. You know, it doesn't matter. I'm just going to go with this. And I remember something that someone said. He said, sometimes I invite people into my church who I don't agree with just because it beats the religion out of me. Just because it offends me and it shakes me up and it makes me respect the anointing of God, whatever the packaging looked like. And I remembered that and I thought, we've just got to go with this, even though it's through gritted teeth for some of us. Because, you know, we can be so cool and so contemporary and all of that, which is what we want to be as a church, but we can be so right we're wrong. Do you know what I mean? I'm not saying we ditch any of that, but if that is where our security is, if that is what we put our confidence in, then we've got it wrong. Insecurity is security in the wrong thing. And our security has got to be on the power of God. And it's got to be in the vulnerable place, and we can do everything we do as well as we can do, but we've got to keep it right in our hearts. And so, as I did the conga that night through gritted teeth, and I was better than PJ, I have to say. But as we do, PJ was boasting about his moves afterwards. As I said, God, step me out of the comfort zone. Step me out of my boat here. Do something in me through this foolish act of doing a conga. And some people were doing it. Well, you were loving it, weren't you? Others were. I just said, God, do something in me. Because the conga is irrelevant. It was a closed church meeting where there weren't any guests. It's irrelevant. What matters, what really counts, is when I say to a stranger, hey, you just told me about your depression. I've seen someone set free from depression. Can you let me pray for you? It's when I give sacrificially to a friend outside of what I feel like I can afford. It's when I offer hospitality to an unfriendly neighbour. That's when it really counts. But to get to that point, we have to live in this place that's out of the boat. We have to be regularly getting out of our comfort zone and saying, God, break it up inside of me. Set me free from my religiosity, because we all have it. However cool we might be, we all have it inside of us. And it's when we break that off and say, God, break it off, because I want to live. When the Holy Spirit says, go, I go. When He says, now, it's now. When He says, jump, I say, how high? I want to live in that way. I want to surrender to you, God, with all my agenda and all my issues. I want to get out of the boat, Jesus. That's when the supernatural lifestyle really starts. And the supernatural lifestyle comes from the inside out, just to finish. You know, we will manifest whichever world we are most conscious of. If you are most conscious of earth, you will manifest earth. If you're most conscious of heaven, you will manifest heaven. I've seen a 25-year-old guy who was in full health, who had a good job and a lovely wife, poison every relationship around him because he was so toxic, so cynical, so bitter, so twisted. And I've seen a 90-year-old woman who was blind and deaf in one ear, wheelchair-bound, fill a nursing home with her joy and her love for Christ. She literally filled the room. I couldn't have stayed in the same room. I think it was fortunate that she was deaf, because it was just a crazy environment. But she was there, and every time I would visit my nan, I would go and say hello to this lady, because she filled the room with her joy, with her love. Whatever's on the inside will come out. It will manifest. And a supernatural lifestyle comes from the inside out. And Peter had fear on the inside, so he sank. Jesus had peace, so he walked. And if we want a supernatural lifestyle, we have to defeat the enemies within. And the biggest of those is fear. Because I will manifest whichever world I'm conscious of. Fear of others, fear of what they'll think, fear of failing. All of this stuff will defeat the life before it ever gets out. I've got to deal with it on the inside. I've got to say, God, set me free from this so that I can manifest your peace. You see, there's this false conception that the New Testament church lived this supernatural lifestyle perfectly, but they didn't. Paul prayed and saw the dead raised. He had meetings where every single person was healed, and yet he left Epaphroditus sick. And he said to Timothy, take this for your stomach, because you've got frequent stomach complaints. You see, he lived in this tension of, it doesn't always work and we don't understand it, but he kept going. Right at the end, it says he was shipwrecked, he was bitten by a serpent, and then he healed everyone who came to the next meeting. And that's what it's like. That's what this life is like. It manifests from the inside out. As we keep our eyes fixed on the things above, we will manifest that world. And it's funny, I was remembering a prophetic word that came to me about 5 years ago, and someone brought me this word, and it was this. It said, Simon, you have read a lot of books. And I knew it was God speaking, because they wouldn't have known that otherwise. And it said, the word was, you've read a lot of books, and God is saying there will come a day where you will write more books than you will read. Where instead of reading other people's stories, you will write your own stories. Where instead of reading about other people's miracles, you will write about your own miracles. And I was reflecting on that word the other day, and I thought, that is not just a word for me, that is a word for us as a church together. I believe we're reading and gathering and learning from everybody else, but there will come a day where we will write more than we're reading, where we will write about what God is doing amongst us. He is calling us to this supernatural lifestyle. Naturally supernatural, every day seeing the power of God break out. What was once normal is no longer normal. God is bringing a new normality to each one of us. I'd love just to pray for us in a moment, but just one comment. I said at the beginning, for those who are not yet Christians, and you might be excited about what I'm talking about, you might have come back to church and say, this is the reality that I want. This is what I'm after. This is what I'm hungry for. And I would urge you, the gateway to this whole lifestyle is coming to faith in Christ. is giving your life to him. It is that ultimate surrender that says, I'm a sinner, all the things I've done wrong, all the mess in my life, God, will you forgive me? Will you wash me clean? That is the entryway, the entry point to this lifestyle. And I would just love to pray with you. If you just want, should we just bow our heads together now? If that's you, if you want to respond to that, I would urge you just to pray this prayer with me. If you want to make that step for the first time, or perhaps you've been away from God and you just want to recommit your life today, whatever your situation, just pray with me to surrender your life. Let's pray this prayer. Jesus, I surrender my life to you. I ask you to come into my life. I want to step out of the boat and into this new life. And I ask you for your forgiveness. I ask you for your cleansing. I ask, will you set me free? I want to follow you. Just while every eye's closed, if you prayed that prayer, why don't you just raise your hand? Just love to. Thank you. Thank you. That's great. Fantastic. Okay, you put your hand down. I'd love to get someone to pray with you afterwards, perhaps you can come and chat with me. Let's stand together, shall we? I believe God. We've got some time. We finished early on purpose because Damien, you could come and play for us. I just believe that God wants to do something and wants to come in his power right now. And so we can relax. Parents, relax. You haven't got to get your kids for 10 minutes. But you can still relax even after that. Let's just relax. We got a few minutes just to receive from God. I just believe God wants to do some stuff in us. Come, Holy Spirit. Just open your heart right now. Why don't you just say, God, I want to step out of the boat. I want to live this lifestyle. Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just love us to pray some things out together just as we start. I'd love us to break agreement with cynicism and scepticism. We live in a society that is so cynical, so skeptical. I'd love us just to break agreement with those lies right now, that lifestyle, and say we don't want to live that way anymore. I'd love to break agreement with fear and playing it safe. So I just like us, perhaps we can just pray this prayer together. I'll pray it and you just pray it after me. And we just make a declaration and ask God to come. Yeah, so pray after me if you want to. I break agreement with cynicism and skepticism. I repent of it in my life. I ask God to you would set me free. I break agreement with fear, with playing it safe, with staying in the comfort zone. God, forgive me for loving this world more than the things of your world. And Father, release me into a new supernatural lifestyle. Increase your presence in my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, God. God, we just pray. Do that right now across this room.